Good morning, everyone. So did you see the nasty weather down in the Gulf all weekend long?
I did.
It was all over the president, who actually visited there yesterday. And he traveled for a briefing on what may become, and these were his words, the worst oil spill in American history.
Your government will do whatever it takes, for as long as it takes, to stop this crisis.
President Obama there speaking yesterday with rain all over his windbreaker. You can see the projections for how far into the coast the oil slick will have drifted by tomorrow. You can track the oil slick itself on the takeaway.org. And even though the weather is hampering efforts to actually locate it, let's recap for a moment this entire disaster and when it began. April 20th, you may recall, was when that explosion on the BP oil rig killed 11 workers, caused that massive fire, caused the rig to capsize and sink. Now it's estimated, the fire is out, of course, that at least 200,000 gallons of oil are gushing into the Gulf of Mexico every day. The oil could hit the shores of Mississippi and Alabama by today. There's also a scenario that says it could seep into the Gulf Stream, traveling around to Florida, which could send it straight up the East Coast. Joining us once again is Campbell Robertson, reporter for our partner, the New York Times, currently in Gulfport, Mississippi. Campbell, what is the likelihood that this could actually come outside of the Gulf and move up the eastern coast of Florida?
Well, all that just depends on sort of the current it picks up and the wind direction and everything. And they can only look out for 3 days because of the weather situation. So a lot of these predictions so far in the last, I guess, week and a half now have changed on a pretty regular basis. It's pretty unpredictable.
It's also changed the tactics that they're using to try to contain this. We've heard certainly about the booms and the use of dispersants in the water to try to dissolve the slick. But now they're talking about some sort of containment dome, a big steel box that they're going to try to put over this. Plus, they're drilling a relief well. What's the status of that this morning?
Well, the relief well is just waiting on the weather. But even when they start that, that's 2 to 3 months. And 2 to 3 months at this rate is pretty bad. The big boxes they're planning to just sort of just drop down 5,000 feet underwater and put on top of the leaks. So all the oil comes up in the box, and then they have a pipe that runs from the box up to, I guess, some vessel up on the surface that can just kind of collect the oil. But that's going to be a couple of weeks away at least.
And what is the sort of sense of the communities, the industries, the fishermen at this point?
Well, the hard part about all this is there's not much to do now. I mean, people being trained and volunteering to help in the cleanup, but a lot of it's just waiting. I mean, you'll find even last night here in Mississippi, people just are eating a lot of oysters. I mean, it's the end of the season anyway, but people figure it may be the last time they do that for a while. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of waiting.
Resigned and tragic and really a sense of powerlessness there in the Gulf community. Gulfport, Mississippi is where Campbell Robertson is, a reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Joining us now from Tacoma Park, Maryland, is Mike Tidwell. He's the founder and director of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. He's the author of a chillingly prescient book, Bayou Farewell. You may remember it, The Rich Life and Tragic Death of Louisiana's Cajun Coast. In that book, he suspected that a hurricane could cause the kind of damage that Katrina eventually did. He also spoke a lot about the extent to which the oil industry has had an impact on the Cajun coast. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
You know, there's been so much talk since last week when it was clear that the environmental consequences were unfolding and were, in a sense, out of control. During your examination of the oil industry in the Gulf, what evidence did you find that there was a serious effort to anticipate this kind of a disaster?
Well, you see when you travel through the oil pitch and the patch and you see thousands and thousands of platforms, you can see some of the safety precautions. The workers on the rigs are all wearing helmets. Skilled men running cranes and other things seem to be in order and following safety precautions. But the reality is you've got 35,000 wells in the Gulf of Mexico from about 4,000 platforms. You're talking about 30,000 total men out there working in all these structures with all this heavy equipment, all this dangerous material, explosive stuff. Sooner or later, human error is going to result in a spill of this size. It's just a matter of time. I mean, the fact that we haven't had a major spill like this is a matter of, yes, safety precautions, but also luck, because people make mistakes sooner or later. And I think the American people just have to have a sense of the scale of this, of the drilling in the Gulf. I mean, you go out there at night on a supply boat and into the Gulf of Mexico, and you're surrounded by so many platforms with so many just brilliant hazard lights, you know, illuminating the platform. And then you look up at the stars in the sky, in the Gulf sky, and the platforms really, they look like reflections of the stars. There's that many. They actually group themselves into constellations just coincidentally, and a boat captain looking at a nautical chart of the Gulf will literally navigate by the stars. He'll follow the constellations of the bunny rabbit ears or the barbecue pit. It's just the scale of it should be a sobering factor in the minds of Americans now. If this can happen at one well, there are 34,999 out there ready for human error the next time.
Although, Mike Tidwell,
if we don't like the oil spills, we might want to think of using less oil.
All right, but Mike Tidwell, you're also making an argument that this is a pretty darn good track record of this industry if only one has failed like this.
It's a good track record, but then you got to ask yourself, what's the cost of business? If you go 20 years and have only one spill like this, well, let's see over the next few months what the acceptable cost of business. Maybe one catastrophic blow like this is not acceptable every 20 years or so. We'll find out that this one's going to be painful.
But when you say it's painful, do you think it's beyond the scale of the industry to clean up?
Unquestionably beyond the scale of the industry to clean up. I don't think anyone looking at the oil and where it's headed and what it's done here or at Prince William Sound in Alaska could possibly think that the oil companies have the capacity to clean it up. This is a multi-year, multi-community cleanup that's going to take just a long, long time.
Right.
And may never, ever be totally clean.
Well, we will see the scale of it, and Mike Tidwell giving us a sense of the scale of the drilling in the Gulf. Campbell Robertson telling us what's been going on as the attempt to deal with this slick is ongoing. Mike Tidwell, the author of Bayou Farewell. Campbell Robertson, a reporter for our partner, The New York Times, in Gulfport, Mississippi. Thanks to you both.